السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa and listening over the receivers, we have been discussing over the past few weeks an incident in the life of Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Ali. He was a Tabi, meaning that he had the company of the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. He was very fortunate that he met many Sahabas, whereas even if he met just one Sahabi, he would have been a Tabi. He was also the Mufti of Madina Sharif, he was the Qazi of Madina Sharif, he was a great Alim, great Muhaddis. So Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, who was at that time the Amirul Mumineen, the Khalifa, the king, so he was traveling on his way to Makkah Mukarrama with a whole group of his people for Hajj. So they stopped over at Madina Tayyiba, and there he desired to meet some Sahabi or some Tabi. It's a long incident which we have been discussing over the past few weeks, and I want to bring it to a conclusion. So let us proceed without recapping. Those who want to follow or find out what we have already discussed, then you will get them in the tapes, which are available at the library with no commission of mine included in the sale of those tapes. Nevertheless, so there are many questions that he asked, and there's great lessons to be learned from all those questions and answers. Here was the king, the Amirul Mumineen, who was having a dialogue with a Tabi, and this Tabi in his reply, Shaykh Abu Hazim in his reply, we can see that there is firmness, there is courage, there is no fear of any kind. He is expressing whatever is haq and the truth. He is making nasihat in a manner that is going to be palatable, acceptable, and which will create a kind of urge and interest and enthusiasm in the king to also do good deeds. The king was not one of those evil ones. He was a good king. But even then, the nasihats that he made to him, it was not easy for any ordinary person to make such nasihats. For example, the very first one, when he said that, why is it that we don't like to think of going to the akhirat? So he said, because we have built up everything in this world, so why should we think of going to the akhirat? And many other things that he discussed. So now let us proceed further. The tartib may not be the same, but whatever comes to mind, I'm discussing of those questions and answers, or whatever was discussed in the dialogue. Then he said, oh Abu Hazim, how can we adopt taqwa in wealth? We can adopt taqwa in other things, but taqwa in wealth, how can we adopt that? So he said, taqwa in wealth is this, that don't go towards anything that is haram or anything that is doubtful. I am giving you in my own words the dialogue, that anything that is haram, anything that is doubtful, then shun it, stay away from it. Anything that comes through fraudulent means, anything that comes through gamble, anything that comes through interest, anything that comes through stealing, anything that comes through deception, then no matter how much shaitan whispers into our hearts and into our minds and into our heads that you have gained, you have made money, you have become successful, but immediately reject that and say that I haven't become successful, I have become unsuccessful. Reject that whispering of shaitan. Don't think that that is a kind of gain. That is the taqwa in wealth. that always be conscious of the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the Razzaq, and if we are going to please Him in the acquisition of that wealth, if we are going to acquire it through halal means, then that same Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us barakat in that. And if we are not going to acquire it through halal means, then He said that that same wealth, that haram that has come, it will drag away even all the halal. It will drag away all the haram. I mean the halal. The haram that has come will drag away even the halal. And that is what we will find in the lives of people around the world, that many of them, it seemed that they were progressing. Empires were being built up. But then the bubble burst, and there's no sign of those people also. There's no sign of the wealth that they owned. There's no sign of those properties. The names have changed on those properties. It's all gone. So don't acquire anything through haram means. So he said, taqwa of wealth is first of all, acquire it in a halal way. And then when you have acquired it, then use it correctly. Give to those who have rights in your wealth. Distribute to them, give to them, for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And because Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik was a ruler, he was Amirul Mumineen, he said that you must be very fair, especially in dealing with your citizens in your country. Adopt musawat. Then he said, فَمَا أَسْرَعُ الدُّعَاءِ إِجَابَةً يَا أَبَا حَازِمْ. O Abu Hazim, which dua is accepted very quickly? Duas are accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but some duas are delayed and some duas are accepted very quickly. So there are many things that have been mentioned in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Hazim said that dua ul muhsin lil muhsineen. He said the dua of the righteous ones, the dua of the good people, the dua of the pious ones, when they make dua for the good people, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts that very quickly. The dua of those who are righteous, those who are pious, those who are close to Allah ta'ala, those who have got qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or those who have got in their lives taqwa, piety, then when they make dua for another person, and here we must not think only of some great shaykh or great buzruk or wali, any person who is pious, who is righteous, who has got taqwa, who has got akhlaq, whose dealings are straight, because no taqwa will come unless the dealings are straight, unless the akhlaq is right, unless the person's morals are right. So if that person has got that, and then we ask him to make dua for us. So when that person makes dua, then if we are also righteous, if we have also got some taqwa and we have also got some piety, then the dua is accepted very quickly. So if a person is pious and he is making dua for another person who is pious, who is righteous, but there is a test on the other person of some kind, so the dua of this pious person for that pious person will be accepted very quickly. Like that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the duas of sinners like us too. And Allah ta'ala accepts the duas of even the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the yahood and the nasara. When they too pray, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the duas. Shaitan's dua was accepted. He asked for life until the day of qiyamah. Allah ta'ala even accepted his dua. But here we are talking about when the person is in some difficulty or he is asking that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless him with the best of this world hereafter, whatever it may be. So the dua of the person who is pious, when he is making dua for another righteous person, it is very quickly accepted. So what we learn from that statement of his is this, that if we want acceptance of the duas of our mashayikh, of our buzrugs, of our walis, then one is that just going and telling them, Hazrat make dua, Hazrat make dua. Now that Hazrat will make a lot of dua, but what have we done to deserve the acceptance of that dua? That is the question. Because whenever we hear some hazrat has come, then everybody wants dua. There's nothing wrong with that. At least it shows that the person has got some kind of love and muhabbat for deen. But the thing is that the person himself wants to bring about no change in his life. And he wants the hazrat's dua to make him reach the heavens. Now that will never happen. The person is displeasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala day and night. If he hasn't got the major sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and something that is even considered wajib according to all the imams, one fist length of beard, now the person is not even prepared to keep that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the pant, that part of it which flows below the ankle, it is for Jahannam. Allah ta'ala does not look at that person with rahmat. Now the person is not prepared to do that. And yet he is not going to lose out on wages or salary or anything like that if he has to pull his pant above the ankles. In Bukhari Sharif, the hadith is there. Now when the person is not prepared to do even the simple little things, which does not even affect his life or does not affect his business, does not affect anything else. But for the people of the world, what will they say? What will they say? What will my wife say? What will my family say? What will my customers and clients say? Now because of that, the person is not prepared to bring into his life even those outward signs of a Muslim. But he'll say, Hazrat, make dua, Hazrat, make dua. Now these are just small things, examples, so simple things that we talk about. And yet they are major in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But I'm talking about now the major issues like namaz, which is farz 5 times a day. Or namaz with jamaat for the male, who is adult, who is sane, who is healthy, who is fit. He can make it to the masjid and make his namaz with jamaat. Now he does not go to the masjid. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I feel like burning his house. Now Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I feel like burning his house. And we say, Hazrat must make dua. This pareshani, that pareshani. Now that Hazrat can make how much dua he likes. But we will have to change ourselves. And when we are going to bring about a change in ourselves, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept the dua of that Hazrat also very quickly. And for anyone who is pious and righteous, when he's going to make dua, Allah ta'ala will accept it very quickly. So this is one major problem of our society today. That the people of the world can go to the Kaaba Sharif and go and pray as much as they like for the ummah, that their difficulties must be removed. They must get success, they must get the nusrat and help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They must get victory. Their difficulties and hardships must go. No matter if the whole world goes there and prays for us. But if we are not prepared to bring about a change in our own lives, then their du'as are not going to be of much help to us. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to change. Then with those du'as we will make a lot of progress. Yes, sometimes what happens is that those du'as must continue. Why do we make those du'as? Because sometimes that du'a is accepted and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives hidayat to that person to bring about a change in his life. So that du'a becomes the means of hidayat for that person. Now when it becomes a means of hidayat for that person, that means now he's going to do the right things. Now he has got hidayat, so he'll make namaz, he'll keep fast, he will give zakat, he will not abuse his wife, his children, he will not curse, he will not take false oath and qasam, he will not steal, he will not deceive, he will not cause unnecessary inconvenience and harm to anybody. So he will be honest, truthful. So now because of that dua of that pious person, he got hidayat of doing the right deeds. So that dua became the means of him coming on track. But the changes and after that the progress and the removal of his difficulties and problems will now come because of those deeds that he's now going to do. I hope you understand. That means we will say that then why make dua? Why ask them to make dua for us? So when we are asking them to make dua for us, we are actually asking that they must make dua, that Allah Ta'ala must give us hidayat to do that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. And the du'as of the righteous ones, Allah Ta'ala accepts and gives them hidayat. So the hidayat can come through those du'as. But then the progress of that person and the removal of his difficulties and problems will come because of his own righteous actions and deeds, and not just the du'a of somebody that goes to Makkah Sharif and says, must make du'a for me at the Kaaba Sharif. Must make du'a for me at the Rauza Mubarak. Yes, we will make du'a. Or those people will make for us. But we will have to do something ourselves. Now here we just don't want to pluck up the courage to get rid from our lives those sins, those evils, that haram. Haram indulgence day and night in sins of all kinds. Especially zina and so many other sins. Now when the person is indulging in all that and say, Hazrat Dua, Hazrat Dua. So that Hazrat's Dua will become accepted and our problems and difficulties and hardships Allah Ta'ala will remove when we ourselves make amal on those deeds and actions that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's hukam we have to fulfill. The whole world can cry for us, but we have to cry ourselves. I mentioned this in one other majlis too, that the whole world can cry for us. But are we prepared to cry over our own sins? If we are not prepared to cry, then the crying of the others is not going to help us very much. Now this is that bottom line. Lots of people want to know why so many people are making du'as. 3 million people go for hajj and make du'as. Why the difficulties of the ummah are not being removed? And especially when we talk about Chechnya, Bosnia, Palestine, Kashmir, Afghanistan and Iraq and all the other parts of the world. Why? They say why? Why is because others are crying, but are we prepared to cry over our own sins? If we are not prepared to cry over our own sins, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not remove those difficulties. Yes, sometimes what happens is that when the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, or the enemies of Islam, when they tyrannize, when they oppress, when they make zulm, then what happens is that sometimes that zulm reaches that stage where after that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala topples that government which was making zulm. That is the system of Allah ta'ala. It's not necessary that because of piety and taqwa and all that. Wherever, even if it is a kuffar government, but if they are making zulm, then one day those on whom injustice is being done will come above and the unjust ones will become suppressed. They'll be overpowered. Haven't we seen in our own country, those who were languishing in jail, they went into parliament and one became the president of the country. So injustice is something that Allah doesn't tolerate. But here we are talking about the Muslims becoming victorious and then successful and then establishing the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the land and government of Islam. So he said, so this is what Hazrat Shaykh Abu Hazim said, that the dua of the good one for the good people, that is accepted. And in another version, in another kitab, it has been mentioned that he said, that the dua of a person on whom some favor has been shown, that means we showed some favor upon some person, some poor person, any person, not necessarily poor, but some favor we did to some person, some ihsan we did to some person. So that person upon whom we made some ihsan, when he makes dua for the one who was generous and kind towards him, Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua very quickly. That means the person who is giving, that person must not have expectation in return. He must not have that expectation that if I am doing a person a certain favor, then I expect a certain favor in return. And this is another major weakness of ours. And we will hear this many, many times from many people. But I did him this favor. But I did him that favor. And when I was in need, he didn't even help me and assist me. He didn't come to my aid. So that means there was an expectation. And when you have an expectation and you do not get that favor in return, then there will be quarrels, arguments, and depression, and rejection, and dejection. Everything will come after that. So he said that this is what happens that when the person upon whom some favor, some ihsan has been made, when he makes dua, that's another version. Now there are many other things. Now let's go on to another one point that comes to mind. But then he said, Shaykh Abu Hazim, he said, oh Abu Hazim, whose sadaqah is the best of all sadaqahs? Whose charity is the best charity? So he said, the best charity is the charity of that person, juhdul muqil. That the person who is poor, who himself is indigent, he is needy. But he goes out of his way, he makes an effort, he strives, and he does some kind of labor or work, and he earns. And from that little that he has earned now, he gives. He gives from that little after hard work and effort. One is the person who is rich, he is loaded with wealth and money, and his bank balance is rising high. And out of the billions, if and millions that he spends, he does not even know what he was spent, and it doesn't cause any dent to his finances, a few thousand rands. Now for that person it is easy. But the person who's just got a few dirhams, a few coins, a few rands, now for that person to spend out of that little earning of his is a very difficult thing. Because he has to now budget, now I've got the rest of the month to go, and I've still got to buy this and buy that. Now if that person from his one loaf of bread, if he sacrifices half a loaf, but of course it must not infringe upon the rights of his family, the rights of his children. That means it must not be at the expense of his wife and children or those upon whom, those whose rights are on him, that he has to take care of them. So he mustn't take the whole loaf and give it away and let them starve and say that is sacrifice. After taking care of them, yes, from his share, if he has to sacrifice and give away something, then that is the sadaqah which is most accepted. Therefore in the Hadith Sharif also it comes that the best sadaqah is juhdul muqil. As a wabda biman taqu. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also referred to the same thing. So this is what Shaykh Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi said, that the effort of this person to give sadaqah from that little that he has, that is the best of sadaqah. Because it has been stated that three things are difficult. Three things are very difficult. One is that when the person has very little, then to give from that little is difficult. To give from plentiful is easy. But for some people, even to give from the plentiful is very difficult. They say, you can take my life. But when it comes to wealth, then I'll think over it. Said one, Baniya fell very sick. Those days they were famous and well known to be very, very hard and difficult in spending. So when he felt very sick, so he said, now go to the doctors and buy some, go and have yourself checked up and get some medication. So he told his son, he said, all right, go to the doctor now because all of you all are insisting. And ask him that if I have to take treatment, how much it will cost. So he came back and he said, well, if you have to take treatment, it's going to cost so much. And say, if I have to die and be buried, what will be the cost of the burial? He said, the burial cost will be so much. He said, then it's cheaper to die than take treatment. So for some people, it's very difficult to spend. So say, from the little to spend is difficult for the to be generous from the little. And the second thing that is very difficult, but that is why very, very rewarding also, is to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in privacy. In private life, when a person fears and adopts taqwa, then we will say, now he has passed the test. At this moment in the masjid now, if you have to bring 100 computers or 200 computers and put it all round here, and bring all those people who are addicts of porn sites on the internet, and tell them, right, all these computers are here now, and now all these musallis are going to watch which site you look at, and see which one goes on to the haram site. Not one. Why? Because so many musallis are watching. Not so many, if there's only one musalli watching in this masjid. You put those computers all round, and not in the masjid, in somebody's house or in some big hall also. Put the computers all round, and then just put one sheikh in the center there, or one imam in the center there, and say he's going to look around now, which site you are watching. So nobody has the courage and the himmat to look at any haram sight. Yet that same person, when he's in the privacy of his own home and his own room, or in the hotel, then at that time, where does that khawf of that one Allah goes? That Allah who gave sight to those human beings, we are afraid of some human being seeing us. But where is that khawf of that Allah, that my Allah is with me all the time? My friend can separate from me. The teachers will not be there all the time. My parents will not be watching all the time. The musallis will not be looking all the time. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are in front of Him all the time. We just cannot hide ourselves from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's gaze. So the taqwa in privacy, khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in privacy, therefore that one hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I discussed at length, in which he said that my beloved Allah, He ordered me 9 things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah ordered me 9 things. And that, now it, surely Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to do anything of that kind. But he said that I must fear Him in public and in private life. So to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to have that khawf at heart in private life, and that is the purpose of these majlises, nothing else. It's not for increase of information and knowledge that we have got plentiful now, but to bring that taqwa into our hearts, because when the taqwa will light up our hearts, then we will find a difference in our lives. I was explaining to some brothers on the other day that people want to know that what was it that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, wherever they went, Allah Ta'ala gave them victory and success. So different things have been mentioned. Somebody will say that they had the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Somebody will say something else. But the bottom line is that each and every one of them had taqwa at heart. That is what brought them Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's assistance, help and nusrat. Otherwise I can give you speeches upon speeches, but it's not necessary Allah ta'ala's help and nusrat will come. I can make da'wat and tabligh, but it's not necessary Allah ta'ala's madad and help and nusrat will come. If the entire ummah makes da'wat and tabligh, then too it's not necessary the help and nusrat of Allah ta'ala will come. If the entire ummah goes and sits down in one khanqa by some buzrug and by some sheikh and reads tasbih and wazifas, then too it's not necessary Allah ta'ala's rahmat and nusrat and help will come. If the entire ummah sits down in the masjid, then too it will not come. Because if the person, if the entire ummah is giving da'wat, but together with that da'wat, if khuda na khasta Allah ta'ala prohibit and protect us, but if together with that da'wat, day and night we are indulging in sins, disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in all our other actions we are disobeying Allah ta'ala. We are giving da'wat, but on the other hand we are disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What I am giving you now is da'wat. So don't think of anything else. What I am saying now is also da'wat. But if I give you da'wat now, towards deen, towards sharia, towards Quran, towards sunnah, towards namaz, towards roza, towards zakat, towards truthfulness, towards charity, towards honesty, towards sincerity, towards taqwa and towards qanaat and towards zuhad and towards shukr and towards sabr, all this da'wat I give you. And after I leave you from here, then in the privacy of my own home and room, then I indulge in all the haram. Or in my business when I go, then I do the same fraudulent deals and cheating and deceiving and wheeling and dealing. And in other aspects of my life also there's no taqwa. So then all my da'wat, of what effect will that be? Will that bring nusrat and help of Allah Ta'ala? Will it bring about any change in anybody's life? So if all the world also a large number of people go and sit down in one khanqa, and while the shaykh is sitting there, they're all reading tasbih, making zikr and tilawat and ibadat, and listening to him very attentively. And after that shaykh has gone from there, the khanqa majlis has ended, then all the murids after that end up in their own vices and sins and evils. And if they become the the murids of the devils after that. So then what Nusrat and Rahmat will come? You can see in devil also there is evil. In devil, D-E-V-I-L, there's evil. So the person who indulges in evil is a friend of the devil. So this is what Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayhi said. The taqwa in privacy. No, he said that the johdul muqil, the effort of the person who is indigent, who hasn't got much, he makes an effort and from what he earns after that he spends, he gives. He shows his generosity and kindness. From there I was, my mind was drifting away, but that is where I mentioned after that the three things are very difficult. One is for the person who is poor to be generous, to give out of that little that he has. And then in privacy to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is something that we have to make an effort on. What else is the purpose of coming to these majlises every week? You don't hear any new stories here. This is the purpose, that Islahi Majlis, this is what it means. That it is time that we bring some kind of noor into our hearts. Remove the darkness from our hearts. So it will come when we try to develop taqwa. When taqwa will come, then Allah Ta'ala's promises will all be fulfilled. And the third thing is to say the truth in the presence of someone in whom we have hope that this person will give us something. Now to say the truth in front of that person or someone that we fear. To speak the truth and haq in the presence of someone whom we fear or whom we have hope from. Now this is a difficult thing. Third thing that's very difficult. We'll take in one more thing that's, as I said, that there is no tartib here, whatever Allah Ta'ala brings to mind, we'll discuss of that incident. But for those who won the whole incident, if I recall correctly, then it is in Surah Baqarah, when I was doing tafsir of the Quran Sharif, then at that time, in this masjid, I recall some years ago, we were doing tafsir of the Quran Sharif, then in the under the ayat, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This incident is discussed there. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has also discussed this in his tafsir, Mu'arif al-Quran. So check it up there. But I'm just giving you an explanation of the whole thing. So we'll conclude with one more thing that was discussed. He said, O Abu Hazim, besides many other things, then he said, O Abu Hazim, would you like to stay with me? Now the king is offering Sheikh Abu Hazim, he said, you come and stay with me, you come and live with me, so that I may benefit from you, so that your needs can be fulfilled, or whatever it may be. Now here, any other person would have said, what an offer, what an offer. The king offered me to live with him in the palace. If somebody just goes to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, or they go to one of the Arab states, and some Arab person who is rich, who is wealthy, who's got some gold, some oil well, or he's got some big business, if that person just opens his door and heart a little, and becomes accommodating and generous towards somebody and offers him accommodation and free stay, this person goes thanking that person all his life and he brags about it, that I stayed in the house of a certain Arab, I stayed in the house of a certain, or even if not Arab, if there's anybody in the world who has got some kind of name and fame from the material point of view, then this person finds it a great honor. Now, especially if a king has to offer, if somebody had to go there and he says, I built up a very good relationship with King Fahad or the king of Jordan or the king of Syria and he's offered me to stay with him in his palace. Now, which one will refuse? They say, chalo, hamara to kaam ban gaya. He'll leave his country and everything and settle there. Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayh, what did he say? He said, I fear that there must become even a little inclination towards your wealth. said, I fear in my heart even a little inclination towards your wealth. Because if I place my trust even a little in you, I'm giving you the explanation. Say, a little trust also if I have to start placing in you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove his protection from me. And thereafter, I will suffer disaster in my life, in this world and in the akhirah. Look at the high degree of tawakkul that he had. Whereas there's nothing wrong if some good friend has to offer somebody accommodation or say, come and stay with me, live with me there. There's nothing wrong because that is his good nature that he's offering them. But this is what those who are righteous, those who are pious, those who have got taqwa in their hearts, those who have got tawakkul, that they don't allow that needle in their hearts to move from khaliq to makhluq. It is the greatest disaster in their lives that those who have got a ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the khaliq and who is the malik and who is the razzaq, who is our sustainer and who is our cherisher. The person has got a ta'alluq with him. The enjoyment that he is getting in his tahajjud and in his ishraq and chasht and in his zikr and his tilawat and in his ibadat and in his sadaqat, the enjoyment that he is getting in that, if a king has to turn that needle away from there, that pointer away from there, then that is the disaster in their lives. So he said, this is my fear. He didn't say that you are a bad person offering me such a thing. But he said, it is my fear. That means we have to keep checking our hearts, that what is our level of tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Our level of taqwa, our level of taharat, our level of zuhad and qanaat, we have to keep checking that. And if we find that it is moving, that we had some kind of taalluq with Allah Ta'ala, but after befriending a certain rich person, that taalluq with Allah Ta'ala is diminishing, then we must say goodbye to that friendship, which is now becoming the means of distancing us from our Allah and His muhabbat and His qurb and His marifat. It is something I am saying, which I hope you understand. It's of a very sensitive nature. It's very, very sensitive. This taluk and muhabbat with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is of a very sensitive nature. The moment the person moves that gaze from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, yes, to make use of the means of this world, it is a world of means. So make use of it. Sometimes we have to borrow from people something. Sometimes we have to lend people something. Sometimes we have to take the assistance of people for some of our needs. Now that is a different thing. It's a world of means. But where the person believes that my success depends on this person's wealth, or this person's company, or this person's friendship, or this person's wealth, property, then if we're going to move our gaze from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we will come crashing down, and then we will find ourselves always in difficulties and problems. And if we're going to put our gaze on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, beg of Him, and then make use of the means, Allah ta'ala will open the doors wide. Don't break that connection with Allah Ta'ala. Develop that connection. You will never find anyone more merciful, more kind, more generous, more loving, more caring, more compassionate, more beautiful than our Allah. Again, that incident of Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, that one woman came and she said, "Oh Junaid, if only it was permissible for me to remove this niqab and show you my face, I would have shown you that what a pretty woman I am. But yet my husband is gazing at another woman and he wants to marry another woman." So the Junaid Baghdadi took a deep sigh. He said, "Ah," and he fell down unconscious. When he gained consciousness, they said, "Oh Junaid, what happened?" She didn't say anything so serious. What did she say? That veil, if I had permission to move it, I would have showed you my face. He said, "Yes, that is what you think. But what she said, it took my mind and heart and thoughts immediately to my Allah. He who has such a beautiful Allah, is it permissible for him to turn his gaze somewhere else? He who has Allah, who is so beautiful, then is it right for him to then place his trust in the makhluk, or to cast his lustful glance somewhere else? So Hazrat Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, if I have to accept your offer, I fear even a little inclination towards your wealth, or towards your palace, or towards your material belongings will distance me from my Allah, and then I will face punishment, destruction, both in this world and in the akhirah. Bear with me patiently for a few more minutes and we'll conclude it. Because then the last thing that he said, of the many other things that Irfa' ilayna hajataka. O Abu Hazim, if you have got any hajat, any need, then present it before me. I am Amirul Mu'mineen. I will fulfill your need. I will give you what you require. So Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayh remained silent. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik insisted, if you have any need, tell me, I will fulfill your need. So then Shaykh Abu Hazim raised his head and he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, I have got two needs, two hajat. Two hajats I have got, two needs I have got. Antun qizani min al-azab. That you save me from the fire of Jahannam. And tudkhilani al-jannah, and that you enter me into Jannah. He said, Sulaiman, O Amirul Mu'mineen, these are my two needs, that you protect me and save me from the azab of Jahannam, and you enter me into the ni'mats of Jannah. Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik said that this is not in my power. Said, well, if that is not in your power, then I have no other need from you. Now, who has the himmat and the courage to say such things in front of a king who is prepared to open up his treasures and give the palace and give everything that's in the palace? This is what we mean by taqwa. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless me also with this sifat and each and every one of you, and the ummah. For when these sifats and with these qualities and these attributes will come in the ummah, then Allah Ta'ala will also flood the ummah with His rahmat and with His mercy and with His forgiveness and with His nusrat and with His help. But it needs some effort, needs some effort. And it's not difficult, it's not impossible. It is obtainable, it is achievable. We can achieve so many other things. This is also something that's within our means and power, but needs a little bit of suppressing of the nafs. Fight the nafs for a little while, for a few days, for a few months. Suppress the nafs. What is this, that the moment the person sees something, he says, I was tempted, I was tempted, I was tempted. For every temptation, if we are going to fall, then how do we expect progress in life? Why don't we say, I was tempted to drink poison, I was tempted to drink poison and keep drinking poison. I was tempted to put my hand in the fire, therefore I put my hand in the fire. I saw the lion in the Kruger National Park. I was tempted to get out of my car and take a snap. So therefore I went in front of the lion to take the snap. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why the temptations there keep the person still securely locked inside his car? Ah, this is the cry of my heart. It's not words. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala change our condition. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Akramal Akramin, Ya Ghiyath Al-Mustaghisin. Hum gunahgar hai, siyakar hai, gandhe, nalayiq hai, mujrim hai, khatakar hai. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. We're extremely sinful servants of yours. Oh my beloved Allah, day and night we use your given bounties for your disobedience. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Ya Allah, purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy, and of, oh my beloved Allah, distance us from haram. Ya Allah, distance us from haram. Ya Allah, put your love and muhabbat into our hearts. Ey mere pyare Allah, oh my beloved Allah, oh my beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Ya Allah, change the condition of our lives. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma, dil badal de. Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly. Sins of our eyes, of our tongues, of our ears, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Bless us with good health, spiritual health and physical health. Bless us with barakat in our sustenance, barakat in our homes, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our lives. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhir. All the works of deen that are taking place except them. Allah, bless all of us with ikhlas in all our amal and actions. Allah, riya se, kibar se, hasad se, bughs se, kina se, adawat se, hamari hifazat farma. Allah, when our time comes for departure from this world, then bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire ummah, especially our brothers and sisters and children of Palestine. Ay Allah, unki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Ay Allah, unki musibat aur takleef ko dur farma. Ya Allah, make hifazat of Masjid-e-Aqsa. Ay Allah, liberate Palestine. Ay Allah, don't look at our weakness and our shortcomings and our sins. Ya Allah, look at your shan of rahmat. Ay mere Allah, tere fazl o karam se hamari madad farma. Mujahideen-e-Islam ki nusrat farma. Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Hindustan, Ay Allah, sare alam ke andar Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ummat pareshan. Ay Allah, unki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Ay Allah, hum sab ko sehat, afiyat, salamati, izzat ata farma. All the duas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for us, all the goodness that he asked for us, Ya Allah, bless us with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness, our parents with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, O Allah, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.